Hello and welcome to Open Your Mind Radio. You have myself, Alan James.
And myself, Stephen George. Good evening.
Good evening. It's Sunday the 26th of July 2015 and it's our anniversary. Happy anniversary, Steve.
Happy anniversary.
5 years.
Where's that champagne gone?
that's about cheap sound effects.
Hang on. Here's the bubbles.
I know, I didn't even get the cakes out. This day, this date 5 years ago, which was probably 2010, was the we did it on their fourth show and their second show on the Saturday, but the date is the 26th when we did it. And so 5 years, you know, it's just amazing that it's gone so quick.
Yeah.
You know, so we would like to say a very big thank you to everyone who gives us 2 hours of their time on Sunday evening to listen to the show. I mean, it really is much appreciated. We are humbled by that fact because we know there's an awful lot of other radio stations out there and so many other things that you could do. So for you to sit there and tune in and listen to myself and Steve for 2 hours, it's really, really much appreciated. And a big thank you to everybody who makes the donations to OEM. That is a big, big help because that really keeps the wheels in motion for OEM, keeps things going. It helps us pay websites, hosting, all that, stream payments and all that kind of stuff. It just keeps things going and a big thank you for that.
Keeps the wheels going on that Jaguar.
Jaguar, yeah.
Or is it Ferrari you have now, is it?
Ferrari,
just delivered this morning.
Yeah, yeah. It's about 4 foot by 6. A dinky toy, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. It is great. It is humbling to be, you know, for people to actually give us their time every week. It is. Fair play to you. we really appreciate it. It's just amazing. And actually, we want to thank the listeners who've offered their services. Their services? Hello. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. No, we want to say a big thank you to the listeners who have offered their services and treats, like the concert that we went a couple of weeks ago. We actually were sent away. We sent away for an evening with Fleetwood Mac, with our wives, and that was much appreciated. We never thought that 5 years ago that we would, that all this would happen. You know, there are some amazing people out there who actually appreciate what we do. And as I said before on many an occasion, Alan puts a lot more effort into this than I do, and that has to be rewarded. Well, not so much a word, but acknowledged. Acknowledged is the word I'm searching for. Because, you know, we come on here on a Sunday, we come into the studio, we do what we do, then we leave, and it's kind of back to being daddy, and, you know, that's it. But there's a lot of work that goes on under the water. No, it's the duck. I'm using the duck analogy again. It's, you know, the duck glides across the water, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of movement going on underneath. So, you know, fair play. But we are humbled, and it's great to still be here 5 years later. We actually thought, you know, when we kind of kicked things off in 2010, that maybe by 2012 we might have got 2 years over, and sure, that'll be it. It'll be all, you know, gone down the pan at that stage. But sure, 2012 came and went, so, you know, we're still here. See what happens now in September.
Here's the question. Will we be doing it 5 years, in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
May not be on this plane, but we'll be doing it somewhere.
Okay, brilliant. Well, a big thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. It's much appreciated giving us your time. On a Sunday evening, every 2 hours, 2 hours for the show, it's brilliant. Right, a guest on the show tonight is a chap called Leo Lyons-Agami. Now, we had Leo on the show before. Leo's just released a book, and it's apparently hopping off the shelves. Loads of people are buying it because loads of fantastic information. So, we're going to be getting Leo on in a few minutes' time, just to tell us all about the book and really what's going on, what information he has as to what's going on globally and what the elite are doing as well. But before we do that, let's find out what the communication channels are.
Yes, that will be handy for anyone who wants to communicate with us this evening. Just listen to this.
The communication channels are email info@oymireland.com, by phone 046 927 1212, and you can also contact us direct through the OYM chat room.
Thank you, Mary. Yes, 046 927 1212 is the magic number for the studio this evening and every evening. We also have, for your listening pleasure, we have three streams on the website. we have the OYM stream, the UWS stream in the US of A, and People's Internet Radio as well here in Ireland and across the globe. We've also got anti-social media, that is Facebook. So Facebook there, if you want to check out what we've been up to, you can just log on there. We can also give you the TuneIn Radio link app as well. It's tuneinradio.com is the website there. Just go into the little search facility and you will get, just type in OYM Radio and you'll find us on there. So you can listen to us when you're out and about. You don't have to be tied to the computer. You can listen to us on the smartphone, on the Android device or the iPhone or tablets and laptops and all sorts of weird and wonderful devices. Also, YouTube channel, we've got that covered as well. The link there is on the bottom of the website. So if you want to check out some of the podcasts, they're on there. And some of the video interviews that we've done are more than likely on there as well. Alan.
Brilliant, Steve. Okay, now, after we finished the interview with Leo, just for nostalgia, what we're going to do is we're going to play the first 2 or 3 minutes of our very first show of OYM. We weren't going to put too much pressure on you having to listen to our very first show, but we just wanted to let you hear it and where it all kind of started. So at the end of the show, after the interview, we're going to give you 2 or 3 minutes of the very first start of the very first show that myself and Steve did with OYM.
Hasn't improved much in 5 years.
Hasn't improved much. We went from 5 listeners to 10 listeners, you know. So,
yeah.
But we're getting there. We are growing. Okay, just a few things as usual before we get our guest in. Now, I've noticed during the week that Facebook are mucking about with the numbers of people who like our page. It seemed to go from a high number to a low number. And also certain posts that are going out seem to be hit. Where it'd be, 1 minute it'd be a high number, next minute it'd be a low number. So don't go by the numbers. If you're on the Facebook page for OIM, don't go by the numbers, what you're seeing there, because Facebook are definitely playing around with it. And we know they do it, because so many people have said the same thing. So just to bear that in mind when you go on the page. But do please go ahead and like. If you go on the Facebook page and you do like it, go ahead and like it, you know. And, you know, that's not going to do any harm. The other thing that was going on during the week, I don't know whether you heard, but there's a Russian billionaire. He's kind of teaming up with Stephen Hawking for the largest ever search for aliens. Now, they're going to put $100 million into this project, and it's backed by Stephen Hawking. And it's supposed to be the largest effort to search for alien life. Now, if anybody has his phone number, please let me know, because I'll point them in the right direction. Area 51 in America, there you go, aliens, UFOs, technology, reverse engineers, and then I won't even charge him $100 million for that. I'll just charge him $1 million. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, when I read that, I couldn't believe it. Like, we've been told time and time again that they walk among us. You know, and just from, you know, depending on who you talk to, you only have to look as far as Roswell, as Alan says, Area 51. There's supposed to be some fantastic technology over there, allegedly. You know, so Mr. Hawking, just maybe put your charge your battery and go over there, have a little look. I don't really think that we're going to have to start you know, searching into the atmosphere and billions of light years away. I think if there is extraterrestrial life, they're probably walking among us, you know, a little bit closer to home. So save your money.
They have the tech and they have the technology, trust me. So yeah. They have it already. It's just a waste of money completely. But Steve, you're going to tell us about Paul.
Yes, I'm going to tell you about Paul. This Paul O'Connor, that's the remote viewing. Paul was on the show there a while ago, and I think was it last year or this year?
Last year
we had Paul on. Had a great old chat with Paul in relation to the remote viewing, and he offered a training course. Well, he runs training courses in relation to the remote viewing, and he's going to be doing one again at the end of July. And if any listeners are interested, Paul has given us a discount code which will enable you €100 off if you want to pop along. You have to go to eventbrite.ie. I will actually put the whole website address up in relation to the remote viewing thing with Paul, so you can check that out. But he is giving €100 off the main ticket price, and all you have to do is just sign up, put in the code OYM Radio. So I thought that was very nice of Paul, so fair play to him.
Now, Chris, who is a listener and has been on one of Paul's shows, does recommend, he has given us feedback on the actual training course, which we'll try and read out later on in the show if we have time. But Chris sang his praises and said Paul did a great job, very professional, brilliant training. So we'll try and get to it if we can for the end of the show. Before we finish up, Steve, how's your week?
Yeah, my week's been fine. I can't complain. Very busy week work-wise, but I still have managed to have a chat with a few people in relation to a topic that's kind of close to my heart now, and that is the Pain Genie. I think it's close to Alan's heart as well. We just restarted it there before we started the show.
It's just there on the shelf.
It's just there on the shelf. Yeah, we just started his heart there before we started this evening. I've been kind of doing a little bit more with that. Still kind of only on family members. And having kind of a mixed bag of results, really, but kind of more towards the positive side than the negative. I did have an issue with my daughter. She has a knee complaint. She's a dancer, and she has a dodgy knee, or a dancer's knee, whatever you want to call it. So she was having some issues with that. I did treat her a couple of times with the device, and she wasn't getting any relief at all. And she was actually disappointed that she wasn't getting relief. She had got relief previously when we've used it on the knee, but there last week she wasn't getting any relief at all. So a quick flick around on the Pain Genie website, it gave me this solution, and that was to use the pads. I was just kind of using the device, so we stuck the pads on and put them in, one on the dodgy knee and one on the opposite knee. It was actually, I'll be honest with you, Alan kind of mentioned this to me as well, when I was telling him the issue I was having. He said, well, did you try the other knee as well? I went, no. So yeah, we done that as well during the week, and great results there. I'm not going to say she was up dancing on the ceiling, but yeah, she got some good pain relief. So all good there. And I think Alan's going to tell us something else about, I don't know if that's going to be, are we going to be mentioning that about the other Pain Genie?
What, the other case?
The one, remember, actually, I'll just say it anyway, will I? I'll just say it. We hooked up with a lady last week, and Alan treated her with the Pain Genie. And based on the treatment, she actually went out and bought one herself, because she was blown away by it. That's my understanding. She was so blown away by what Alan done to her. I don't know what he done to her, but he done it fairly well anyway. So she's actually gone out and got one. And so, you know, these things are kind of starting to really take off. I think they could be the new Rubik's Cube. But anyway, what else have I got for you? Just watching some video footage during the week of one of our friends here from OEM, Max Kaiser, on Russia Today. And this was kind of an archive video of what Max's thoughts were after the Greek government had the referendum and then done a 360 degrees and kind of went completely in the opposite direction of what the Greek people wanted. And I have to say, it's a pleasure to watch this man in action. It really is. I love him to bits, because, you know, no one, I mean, Alex Jones can have a rant and a rave, but no one rants and raves like Max Kaiser. And I really enjoyed that. So, you know, he gets my number one vote for rant of the week. But he made some valid points as well. You know, what's the point in having referendums? And I fully agree. It's the same over here as well. You know, sometimes a referendum can make a difference, but most times over here it doesn't really, because it's worded sneakily. And if you do kind of vote one way, the government, if it's not the way they want, then they get you to do it again, which kind of has happened here a couple of times over recent years. And what else? Irish Water. Someone, I can't remember the name of the company, but the company who are kind of above Irish Water have come out and said that the company may not be in existence, Irish Water, that is, after the next general election. But again, that was kind of plastered all over the newspapers during the week. Do I believe a word of it? No, I don't, because it's hot air. It's lip service, really. The way I see it is, you know, Irish Water, they'll just keep going, they'll keep on going, and, you know, they'll be threatening people and this, that, and the other. When the election time comes around, everyone's going to be, you know, the election promises is, oh, if you vote for me, we'll abolish that. But, you know, they're going to have their fingers crossed behind their back. Unfortunately, as far as I can tell, the electorate are probably just going to vote for one of the other mainstream parties, you know, because we've had Fine Gael and Labour for the past 5 years, so people are kind of going to look at them and go, oh, let's vote for Fine Gael, not remembering that Fine Gael got us into this mess in the first place. But look, we said it before, and we continue to say it. Have a look at all the independents and see what they're about. Do your homework, you know. And again, not just the people here, because everyone who's here, you know, it's like preaching to the converted, really. But you know, just tell your friends and tell your families and your workmates and your colleagues and, you know, anyone else who will listen to you in shopping centres and dark alleys. Just you know, tell them to check out independents and Direct Democracy or any of the other parties. You know, stay away from the mainstream, because, as Alan said before, it's like a circus, you know, and we get to vote for the clowns, but it's the same clowns all the time, you know. Anyway, there you go. My week in a nutshell. How was your week?
Dark alleyways. What are you doing down dark alleyways? Convince people to vote.
I don't know.
Well, you won't even go there.
No, don't go there.
Yeah, your part-time job.
Hello.
Okay, during the week, you probably heard that Garda Commissioner defends appointing her husband to investigate media links. Talk about nepotism in the police. You know, this Garda Commissioner, Noreen O'Sullivan, is defending the appointment of her husband to a team investigating alleged leaks of information to journalists. Yes, that's going to be fully transparent, isn't it? Talk about, again, we'd say nepotism, that's what it is in our government, hiring her husband, and it's going to be completely transparent. I'm sure it is. We'll see. Okay, now, just a word of warning. It says you got a message in during the week saying, beware, there's a new scam going around in the UK. More than likely, you'll probably come over here as well. A woman found a parking charge notice stuck to her car when she had a valid parking ticket. It says, if the yellow envelope says penalty charge notice, it is real. If it says parking charge notice, it's a scam. Don't pay it. The police told her to bin it. So, just if you get any little stickers on your car for parking and it says parking charge notice, ignore it. But if it says penalty charge notice, then you have to pay it because that's legit. So, just be aware of that. That's what's going around the UK. Now, the other thing, before we get Leo in, and something that Leo might be able to comment on as well, is that we talk about the Shemitah, the Super Shemitah year coming up in September, and the 7 of 7, and the 4 Blood Red Moons. And I was looking at something during the week. I was watching a YouTube video regarding the financial side of things. And when you look back at the whole kind of 7-year cycle, if you go back to 1966, and then start doing 7, and then 7, and then 7, every year, all the way up to 2008... there's been some kind of stock market crash or something happening regarding the bond markets or depression or something like that. Guaranteed every 7 years from 1966 all the way up. And you can guess what month in that year that it's happened in? Any ideas, Steve?
No, sorry.
September, October.
Right.
Right. So, September, October of each of these years, 1966, 1973, 1980, 1987, 1994, 2001, 2008, and of course we're in 2015. So
you have been busy.
I have been busy. And so are we going to be due a massive market crash in September because of the Super Shemitah and all that kind of stuff? I don't know. Maybe Leo might know. We'll have a word with Leo and see what he knows. But it might be even in his new book. We'll have to see. But good evening, Leo. How are you?
Very well, and happy to be back on your show. I have a little bit of echo. Now it's gone, so I'm fine.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Leo, thanks a lot for coming back on. We did say to you the last time you came on, we would do a part two. And obviously, now that you have a book release as well, obviously we can have a chat about that. But because we get new listeners all the time, do you want to let people know, just give us a quick bio, 5-minute bio of who Leo Sagami is?
Well, Leo Sagami is a person who comes from a particular environment where he was brought up, and he got into secret societies at an early age, involved in the New World Order, and now that, of course, a few years have gone by since I started my revelations on the internet in 2006 to actually break from what was... network of people we don't want to be associated with anymore, which we commonly refer to as the Illuminati. Now in 2015, I am a writer because that's the only thing actually that that they let me do up until now. I tried other things here in Italy, but they didn't really go so well because unfortunately when you create this kind of enemies, you have to be very careful of the consequences. We were talking in private about things that can happen even to you with your radio setup and everything. So now in 2015 I realized that the only way I have to actually get things to the public is through the books, because even the internet is a very labile, very it's not something that will stay there forever. I had so many websites put down, you know, and so many problems, because when you write something on a website here in Italy, at least you are much more liable legally to problems with the law. And so instead, by publishing things like I'm doing now, it's very difficult once the book is out. It's like bringing out the genie out of the bottle. You can't really stop it. And plus, of course, things get much more detailed. So from 2009 till now, I've actually stopped being a blogger and manifested instead myself as a writer of 14 books that have been published worldwide, 7 in Japan, 7 in Italy, and now my first one in English language, which is Pope Francis, the last Pope, question mark, and also the upcoming in January Confessions Volume 1, and this new edition for the English public. And I think that already with the first book, I saw a lot of people finally starting to realize also the difference in, of course, the amount of information that I can filter through the internet and what I can filter with a book, which is, of course, much more complex and much more vast. So I am glad to be a writer today, for the moment at least, trying to bring awareness to the people. I have my own, of course, association, my own order in Italy, which has Freemasons, Knighthoods involved, and many other things, but we are on the good side of things. We are for a positive outcome of the events. We try to still deal even with the enemy at times to see if we can get them to realize their mistakes. And by doing that, of course, we are not sacrifice babies like they do in the upper levels of the echelon, but we are, of course, instead teaching people how to adoperate themselves and use their forces and their knowledge. And it comes down even to the esoteric field. You were talking earlier about aliens. I have published a book here in Italy not so long ago, which is Volume 4, which is completely dedicated to this subject, but under an esoteric point of view, because ufology, and you might not know this, but has a profound esoteric roots, and this also comes out in Volume 1 of my Confessions, which comes out in January. The links between the Illuminati, the Ordo Templi Orientis, many other secret societies with ufology, and with actually the first contactee, George Adamski, for example, with the Royal Order of Tibet, or the famous FBI vault document which talk about extra-dimensional beings, which actually came out of the fold of a secret society which had this channel, Maid Lane, which actually managed to channel and to communicate on the day of Roswell that something was going on at an official level, but he communicated this with a document that was, as maybe you know, in 2011 made public on the FBI vault site, which talks about the fact that he was warning, careful, because you are letting through these extra dimensional gates that have been created, and these beings are coming to us, and they are actually invading us, and they are of course coming from their dimension into ours, so also putting immediately into question the dimensional aspect, the interdimensional aspect, which of course science is proving more and more with quantum physics. And this, for me, for the first time, by publishing my books, I can make people realize how an Illuminati operates ritualistically to go into these kind of stargates that communicate with another dimension and get these entities to then come into this dimension, and how these entities serve at times, these secret societies, but of course they are also our guardians from ancient times, the Nephilim, you know, like Moloch,
yeah,
or Azazel, and they want, of course, a tribute of blood also, and a tribute of sacrifices, because they are not our creatures, such good creatures,
okay.
Like you can imagine. That's why, you know, when we say that we have been, of course, coming together with the fallen angels, is quite a dramatic thing what happened to humanity with this union with these beings that then has let's say followed up in the royalty, in the nobility that we have even in England and in other countries around the world, that of course is the elite of the world, and they are the ones who are deciding really what goes on in their clubs, like the Bilderberg Club or in the CFR or the Trilateral Commission and whatsoever. I mean, families like the Rockefeller and the Rothschild support economically this engine of the New World Order that, of course, is not defending the dignity of man, but defending the dignity of these few people. So I hope that after 5 years doing this show, you have understood, and probably you have so many people that you have interviewed and have brought so much different knowledge to this show. And for this reason, I think it's very important that people like you preserve what you're doing, not only on a digital format, but also on a hard format. That means old tapes, old analog way of recording, which was the famous reel-to-reel back in the days, need to be reevaluated, because digital is really a labile format. It's a very weak format, and we might lose all our photos, but also all our recordings one day. And this might be actually the last few decades might completely disappear off history if we are not capable of leaving some more hard evidence, like the books want to be. That's why I am glad at least to be doing this, even if it's not very easy, because of course the information that you want to put through has to be credible. You want to do it citing the right sources, citing the right documentation, and for this reason I came out in the last few years bringing evidence that was credible, and also showing pictures, interviews, recordings that were obtained in different ways. And I have so much still more material I would like to bring out, and that's why I am publishing after volume 1 in January another 3 volumes that will bring me to 2017 with 2,000 pages in the English language, which I'm glad that finally people in the English language will have this opportunity like the Italians and the Japanese already had, and which has brought also not only awareness, but in Italy for a period we even tried politically to change things, but unfortunately, you know, this New World Order is a dictatorship, and you can't really think, like you were talking before, about elections, about possible referendums. These kind of things are just a joke. There is no elections. It's all decided before the election even starts. Every time there is, the Tsipras, the kind of hero of the situation, is already set up for a downfall, and is set up, the next one is already there, ready to get his place. So people think, like now, for example, with Greece in Europe, there was some great thing happening. There was nothing happening. They made them go to do a referendum, which was completely useless. They didn't change the fact that Germany is actually, because it's the foundation place of the Illuminati, is the foundation place of communism, is the foundation place of Nazism, is basically the worst place in Europe also because it's the birthplace of the Sacred Roman Empire. So the driving force of Europe is a dictatorship, and it's called Germany. Until we realize that, maybe we will not be free. But just think about it. Where is the Illuminati order born? Germany.
Yeah.
It's not born in Italy. Where is the Nazi party born?
Yeah.
And where was the Spartacus Communist Party born, and who was Karl Marx? Was a Mason and the creator of the Manifesto of the Communist Party. It's very difficult here for the people to understand really what goes on behind the scenes. But if we have to talk about the Jewish, let's say the Jewish element in all this, we should maybe go back to read an article written in 1920 in the International Herald Tribune by Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill wrote this article about the good Jew and the bad Jew. And he even wrote about Spartacus Bishop, the founder of the Illuminati, being the forerunner, Jewish forerunner. So it implicated that Adam Bishop was actually Jewish because Churchill said so, not because it's written on the internet, guys, because if you find it on the internet, it's not necessarily right. But standing by Churchill's words, there was a conspiracy by those Jews who don't believe anymore in Moses, in the Torah, in the real belief of Judaism, but purely believe in communism, destroying all the philosophy of their ancestors, and these people, these Jews, are the ones who, of course, are part of the Illuminati conspiracy to overthrow the governments and to install a new world order. What happened? That there is also different sides of the Illuminati that are not necessarily connected to Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati, but are part of what I define as the Illuminati network, which is much older than the 1776 Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt. Goes back to the Atlantis and goes through the mystery schools of the Gnostic Alessandrian into the Rosicrucians and then create the Freemasonry. Now, Churchill proposed that the only solution to stop the Jews from becoming communists was to make them become Zionists and give them the State of Israel. Now, if you think about what Churchill was writing in 1920, it seems like he got it right, when, of course, later on, and also thanks to his direct effort as a prime minister, because in 1920 Churchill was only a journalist, but he was already a Freemason and already a member of the Druid Order, so he was already, technically speaking, a member of the Illuminati network. The Illuminati network functions in a way, like David Hayek says, problem, reaction, solution. So by creating the problem with communism and creating this problem internationally, they then had the answer ready. The moment Nazism was defeated, the new enemy was created the day after. The same thing was done in the 1970s, when between 1970s and 1980s, communism was defeated and a new enemy was already ready, Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden is defeated, the new enemy is already ready, ISIS. And the moment ISIS is defeated, there is a new enemy ready. So, which is, and that is going to be interesting, because I'm already writing about the new enemies that will be in years to come, that will be called Christian fundamentalism in reaction to the Islamic fundamentalism. So people like Breivik will become the norm in the next few years. So this is the planetary scenario which I'm describing. If you have any questions, I'm here for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go back to your source. Now, obviously, you said about your background, you were involved with the Illuminati, and you stepped out from that, and they're only allowing you to write books.
Well,
at the
moment. I mean, it's very easy for the ones who are in the English language to understand who I am. Well, I am related to the Queen Mother of England, which is Lion. My family is from the Lord Lady Strathmore family of the Lion family in Scotland. My grandfather was the cousin of the Queen Mother, so I'm just related to the Queen of England.
Okay, and so the information, who gives you the information now at the moment? Where do you get that from?
From 2006, when I started my disclosure, I had to abandon the actual working in lodges. You understand that,
yeah.
That was impossible for me. So to continue having that kind of information, I instead because I am still, as I told you before, earlier, the Grand Master of an order called the Order Illuminatorum Universalis, which is also an association, I have Freemasons and Knights of various orders and members of different secret societies who are placed in the right lodges and, of course, give me the information directly from the inside and also from the intelligence community, which, of course, I worked for many years when I was involved with the Monte Carlo Lodge, Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri, the NSA, and all that. So I have still contacts from my old, work that I was doing, and at the same time also from my order, which is full of members that are positioned in the right lodges, so they can give me also their information. I mean, it's like I try to use the methods of Weishaupt, because one thing is for sure. The Illuminati existed before Adam Weishaupt, 1776, but one thing is for sure, that Adam Weishaupt devised a system of control which was never devised before in any secret society, including Freemasonry, because instead of giving importance to the esoteric, the magical side, the system of Weishaupt was based on pure control of every single cell, and there were many cells for an organization that was then united for a purpose, but the other members didn't know the purpose on top. So it was all built in a way, and all the manipulation regarding infiltrating Freemasons, infiltrating the various orders, all this was actually extracted within the instructions of the Illuminati. As my friend's book that was lately published, which I suggest is called The Secret School of Wisdom, which is basically the rituals of the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt, published for the first time by Louis Masonic this year, which is obtaining a lot of success in the academic community, because here we're not talking about speculation, conspiracies, whatever. Here we're talking about the pure translation of the rituals and the instructions, which actually demonstrate that Weishaupt created a machine of control like no other, that was imitated, of course, by Lenin, was imitated by Hitler, was imitated by Stalin, and it's not only a secret society endeavor. We're talking here about something that has influenced our society as a whole, because then it helped creating something like communism, which of course ended up in a dramatic way, as we know, and still dominates China. But this is the system devised by Adam Weishaupt, and Karl Marx, who founded, created, possibly, you know, with the manifesto communism as an idea, was himself involved in that. And Spartacus, the first organization to actually, Spartakusbund, created in Germany, that was creating communism, is called like Spartacus. Spartacus was the code name of Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati. That's why the communist organization was called Spartakusbund. There was the Spartak organization. So we're talking here about a direct link with the Illuminati. It's not a link like, you know, invented. And the same when it comes down to Nazis, because in the same time, in 1919, in that period in which we had the communists trying to take power in Germany, we had also the Thule Gestalt, which was another secret society created by another branch of the real Illuminati, which, of course, as I said, are even more ancient than Weishaupt's order. And they are the ones who, of course, had Adolf Hitler, and then they got all the finances from America, from Ford. Let's not forget that in America they loved Nazism and fascism 100 years ago. It was Ford, the founder of Ford, the car company, who wrote about fascism and Nazism, and of course financed Adolf Hitler. Even Coca-Cola and Fanta financed Adolf Hitler and brought their products in Germany.
And IBM, I believe, they did a computer system.
IBM, they have a computer system, which actually, if we go into the archives of IBM, we will find a lot of stuff that I bet they don't want you to find. Because there is actually the evidence in those old systems, like the computers we use today that don't leave a trace if you erase everything, these kind of calculations and money that was coming in for different sources into the IBM machines, where they have archives, and those archives, of course, they are not for the public, because they will demonstrate that the international finance of Rockefeller and Rothschild was actually totally backing Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. Well, that's what we heard, obviously, over the 5 years of being on the show with different guests coming on. They've all kind of verified exactly what you said there about Adolf Hitler being funded. Now, the information that you get from people from the lodges that you still have contact with, how happy are you are, how convinced that
it
you...
Has to, the information has to be always confirmed by documents.
Right, okay.
At least by two or three different sources that are not the same person.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
This is absolutely impossible, you know, for a normal person that doesn't have access to these lodges or these kind of very elitarian circles. Like, for example, today I was on the phone with the north of Italy because there is a reunion in a monastery, a secret reunion of Knights Templars that are in dialogue with the Orthodox Italian Church, and I was there, you know, on the phone trying to understand who was there, what was going on. At the same time, there has been, you know, a meeting with the Santo Sepolcro Order in Rome. Then I get to have all the minutes of these meetings. I can actually analyze them because these meetings have official minutes. Even I, when I do my order, after I finish a reunion, I have to detail, in a very detailed way, transmit the minutes of what we are doing. Also because my order in Italy is actually legally registered, because in Italy, after the P2 scandal, we are obliged by law to be legally registered in what we are doing, even with a secret society.
Okay, to be legally registered as a secret society, that's kind of an oxymoron there, kind of in a strange way, you know?
I know. In fact, most societies, I will say that by doing this simply become society with secrets, like it's Freemasonry, which is not really a secret society, as you know, because everybody knows that there is a local lodge and everybody knows where it is. So, I mean, it's not your satanic cult, which is much more, you know, or the OTO, that usually tend to be much more reserved, or the Temple of Set or Michael Aquino or some other fraternity. Of course, in my book, The Pope Francis, The Last Pope, what I'm trying to do here is to bring you also the importance of the Vatican in the New World Order scenario. And I'm very glad that when this book came out in April, there were still a few idiots going around the internet saying, oh, Leo Zegami is writing a book about the Vatican, what is that to do with the New World Order? And now, of course, that Alex Jones has come out in the last month or so talking only about the Pope in relation with the New World Order, showing also the famous image which we have all seen, the image of Christ with the communist symbol. Because the Jesuits are very, in all this, I talked about the Illuminati, but also in the first volume of my Confessions, which comes out in January, I show the roots of these Illuminati, the links with the Jesuits, the actual links with Jesuits proven by hard evidence, meaning historic and academic texts that are very difficult to get access, that demonstrate that there was a guy called Giuseppe Marotti, who then became the secretary of Pope Pius VI, who actually devised the rituals for the Illuminati. Part of the rituals were devised by this Jesuit who became secretary to the Pope. And even academics, you can go to any academics from Trinity College or anyone, they can confirm you that before 1786, it's almost impossible to have any information about this Giuseppe Marotti, because in the period he was involved with the Illuminati, the Vatican has got all the archives wiped out.
Oh.
But then you can find, of course, that Giuseppe Marotti, after 1790, becomes secretary to the Pope. And of course you can find that before, in the period of 1776-1790, he was involved with the actual Illuminati, and this has been proven by serious academics. That's why now the interesting thing is that I'm actually working with academics that can give me access to the ritual, the archives. That's why we are, as an order, also study group, a Masonic study group. We have been invited lately, when it was the end of May, to participate also to an international meeting organized by the Institute, a Geopolitical Institute in France, at the Bibliothèque Nationale in Paris. I mean, of course, the enemy is amongst the academic, unfortunately, a lot of these professors, a lot of these academics get corrupted. We know it's very easy to corrupt academics because of their lack of finances. It's also very easy to get them to maybe participate to a couple of naked sexual magical orgies with the Illuminati to also have their favors. And so at the end of the day, we also know that in America it's full of secret societies within the university, like, say, the Skull and Bones, but many others, the Scroll and Tie and all that actually come from the tradition of the Illuminati and of Adam Weishaupt. The Skull and Bones, founded by Russell in 1832 in Yale University, was founded 2 years after Adam Weishaupt died. But Russell had been in Europe, had visited Weishaupt, had actually had the possibility to get from Weishaupt that system which we just talked about for the first time, is now being published by Louis Masonic in the Secret School of Wisdom, and this gives the possibility for that's why the authors have been receiving an award in Paris on the 30th of May of this year for this publication, because it gives the possibility to serious people like, you know, like me, who didn't have maybe access to the German language because I'm not very familiar. So then only the rituals which are given to us sometimes are modified even by the grandmasters. These are the original rituals because they are compared with 50 different sources. So here we are talking about, with my work, as the book that is coming out in January, volume 1 of my confessions, and the previous one which is out now, Pope Francis, the Last Pope question mark, to actually show you evidence of what's going on. And the Vatican, finally, like Alex Jones has finally discovered, is very important for the New World Order at the moment.
Well, tell us about that, Leo. I mean, you're saying Pope Francis being the last Pope.
Francis is a Jesuit.
Yeah.
Jesuits were linked with Adam Weishaupt and the foundation of the Illuminati. Some people say, but Adam Weishaupt became anti-Jesuit before founding. That's complete rubbish because, as is proven before, there was this Giuseppe Marotti. But not only that, it's complete rubbish because the Jesuits, the order that Pope Francis belongs to, was actually kicked out of the Vatican between 1790 and 1815. Now, in this period, between 1790 and 1815, that we know wasn't the most tranquil moment in history of mankind, there was the rise to power of Napoleon, backed by the Jesuits, which was immediately terminated the moment in which the Jesuits were coming back into the Vatican in 1815. At that moment, nobody needed anymore Napoleon. He was becoming a threat to the elite system. The Jesuits had made a deal to go back into the Vatican with also, because we think sometimes of the Vatican as being distant from the royalty, like the English royalty, but it's absolutely not the case. There is also very close links because we have, like I describe in this book by Francis Last Pope, four lodges of Freemasons within the Vatican. They operate right under the Duke of Kent, which is the cousin of the Queen.
Yeah.
We have seen the Duke of Kent lately in that famous moment gathering when then, you know, the Prince Philip came out getting angry with the journalists, telling to fuck off, sorry the word. But and now that Prince Philip has said it, even I can say it, sorry. Okay. And we can say that this situation demonstrates that Duke of Kent, the Grand Master of Freemasonry, is right there in the mix of power. And he is very important in all this, because we have to understand that we have his direct link. In fact, his son actually became even a Catholic and married inside the Vatican. There was also a ritual celebrated inside the Vatican. So,
I tell you what, Leo, tell us, obviously the book is about, you saying, Pope Francis being the last Pope. Obviously,
It is about Pope Francis being the last Pope, because definitely he rise to power suddenly, and I describe this in this book, because the Jesuits forced Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Ratzinger to resign. Pope Ratzinger is still living.
Yeah.
I also show in this book a document that proves that at the fifth election, Pope Bergoglio was actually elected in a way that is not regular. So that means, if we want to really say it by, you know, like in legal terms, that the election is nil. So basically, Ratzinger is still the real Pope, to all effects.
Right,
we have we have Bergoglio coming in. He comes in because of the emergency situation. The emergency situation, in my book, I describe many Mason occultists in this decline of the Catholic Church. Why? Because suddenly money scandals in the Vatican Bank, Masons involved with it, and occultism, pedophilia, and especially pedophilia within the Vatican was so strong that Cardinal Martini, who then died, who was this very powerful Jesuit, and of course he's the one who actually put Bergoglio there now. Cardinal Martini already wanted Bergoglio Pope, and this you can go and check and find it on the internet for yourself, in 2005. That means when Ratzinger was actually elected. So there was already a will of the Jesuits to put immediately one of them into this position. Why is that? Because the amount of scandals were so much that the Jesuits, they are the secret service of the Vatican, they are the intelligence of the Vatican, and they had to come into the fold as an emergency. I mean, Cardinal Martini, and this is something that came up a couple of weeks ago, with the sudden witness of a Jesuit who was the assistant of Cardinal Martini, who before he died in the middle of June, he left this testimony that went on the national newspapers, saying that basically he saw himself, Cardinal Martini, saying to Ratzinger, now is the time, you have to resign. And 2 weeks later, he resigned. He went to Milan for this family day with Cardinal Martini in January, and a month after, after a few weeks, he resigned. So this is not conspiracy. My information comes from the heart of the Vatican. In this book, I bring even, not only, I bring interviews with the knights of the Pope, photos of their actual documents and everything to prove who they are. So if any journalist or any, you know, want to say, ah, Leo, yeah, Zagami is saying grab. No, they can't, because there is an official document, there is photos and everything and evidence that prove that a guy gives me this information and is completely reliable, 100%. And we are talking here about Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, Knights of the Order of St. Sylvester, which is the holy knighthood given personally by the Pope, and Cavalier Luciano Fortunato Chandra participated, who is a knight of these orders, participated with me in this book, giving me his direct information. Also on the way the Pope lives, for example, he has these tasters for his food, because he's threatened, and for that reason he has to be like the ancient kings, who have to have tasters. He has two or three tasters, Jesuits, who eat the food before him. There is many other anecdotes and also much more serious things that are discussed in this book, of course, regarding the infiltration of Satanism in the Vatican, and also the prophecies, the various prophecies that that have forecasted what are the events, end of day scenario that we're living today. Ali Akcha, the guy who attempted to kill John Paul II, yeah. Ali Akcha, he prophesied, well, he says that his inside information within the Islamic circles point to a date, which is the 100 years anniversary of the appearance of Fatima, and that will be in May 2017.
Well, let's talk about that.
For a nuclear bomb, or at least a massive thing to happen within the Vatican walls.
Well, let's talk about what's happening today, because there are people out there talking about end of days, and you know, there's things coming on. I mean, even now, what I just said before we went live, or should I say before we brought you on, when we were talking about the Super Shemitah and September, October, and there's a lot of people out there saying certain things are going to be happening, and there's people disagreeing with each other and saying, well, this is right and he's wrong and he's right and he's wrong. What's your take at the moment? Because the world is kind of going mad at the moment. I mean, it literally is gone. When you take a step back and see everything that's going on globally, you just think, like, the world has definitely gone mad. There's definitely the lunatics are running the asylum, and we're trying to destroy the planet completely with Fukushima and everything else. What's your take on what's going on at the moment? Is this orchestrated? Is this planned? What's your take on it?
It's absolutely planned. Where do you want to start from? I mean, regarding September, the Pope is going to be, of course, in America. It's going to be a massive event, and it coincides with the possible meteorite that should hit the planet. who knows if it will or if it's not going to hit the planet. But of course, the Pope, knowing with his Jesuits who have an astronomical observatory which is second to none in Mount Graham, maybe a bit worried of the situation. They know that the best places to actually be for a safe is of course in the bunkers constructed by the US State Department. So probably that's one of the reasons why he's there in September. But in any case, apart from that, September is very important because also ISIS has said exactly 6 months prior to September, has announced that after 6 or 7 months, the Antichrist will arrive. This was announced by ISIS. It wasn't announced by me, it wasn't announced by the Pope, okay. but by ISIS. So September is this moment very important that we're going to be living, but at the same time it is also very important situation in the world happening this moment with the radioactivity when it comes to Fukushima. The problem was what Alice Bailey used to write about radioactivity and what Alice Bailey wrote about the use of the nuclear bomb. Go and read that, and if you know who is Alice Bailey, you will understand what the New World Order decided to do. Maybe you don't know who is Alice Bailey, maybe you want me to maybe do a little resume for your listeners and I can explain them the importance of somebody who is behind the Lucy's Trust, which is behind the United Nations spiritual and meditation room also. So we're talking about the main spiritual legacy at the moment, the main spiritual religion that is practiced at a global level by the Illuminati and it's endorsed by the United Nations is theosophy. But it's not even theosophy, the classic theosophy of Madame Blavatsky, it's neo-theosophy, which was endorsed by his successors, by her successors, who managed with Alice Bailey to announce the arrival of a Messiah, which then didn't materialize in Krishnamurti, but apparently now then Benjamin Cream, who is another neo-theosophist in the 70s, announced that from 1974-75 the Messiah would gradually emerge. So basically they are constructing the scenario for the advent of the Antichrist, which will be their Messiah. Who is this Antichrist, and what is this, what's really happening? Why we have everybody putting a rainbow on Facebook? Why? You think because of the gay rights? No. Let me tell you how that happened too. I mean, a rainbow is the symbol of Lucifer. Rainbow is actually a symbol which all the theosophical, there is five volumes written by Alice Bailey on the seven rays, and then when they created this flag for the gay rights, they had run out of pink color, so they got back into, you know, using the other these old flags that were actually from a Masonic order for girls, the Rainbow Girls Association. And they actually used those flags from a shop in San Francisco for the first gay pride things they were doing around town, because they ran out of pink, the color for this, you know, the original. Then, of course, in fact, the colors were reduced gradually, and now I think there are six for the gay rights rainbow. But in any case, the rainbow has a profound occult symbol. Is a profound occult symbol connected with Lucifer, connected with Satan, mostly with Lucifer, because this connection was also told about by disciples of Aleister Crowley, like Kenneth Grant talked about the rainbow, and we know that this symbol is a symbol of the link between man and this Antichrist that will come. And also, you know, people, for example, they have the pacifist symbol, no? They think a pacifist symbol is a great symbol. No, it's not at all. It's not at all a great symbol, guys. That symbol is a rune of death, and actually that symbol was known in the ancient time as the cross of Nero. And as the cross of Nero, Nero invented that symbol, which is basically the cross bent, broken, yeah. No? Because he thought that the Christians need to be eliminated, that there will be world peace without the Christians. So every time a Greenpeace activist or any activist endorses that symbol, he's basically endorsing an anti-Christian ideal.
Right, okay. See, symbolism is very important, and a lot of people don't understand it. And we're kind of, from myself and Steve, are probably just scratching the surface from the information we have. But Leo, we have a few questions coming in, because we have to watch time as well. I know this subject we can probably fill for 4 or 5 hours, but we do have limited time, so we're going to try and cram in as much as we can in the time that we have. Steve, you've got a few questions for Leo there.
Yeah, Leo, excuse me, we've got a lot of questions coming in, a lot of comments, and the chat room is buzzing away there. I'm going to ask the questions in no particular order. Some actually came in quite early in the conversation, so I'll backtrack. We have a question here from the People's Internet Radio chat room, and the question is: can you ask Leo to explain the connections between Le Cercle Violet and Opus Dei?
Ah, very interesting. I think that to actually go into the French side of extreme Catholicism, let's say Catholic fundamentalism, we find some very interesting connections between certain elitarian groups that also emanated in what was known as the Priory of Zion. But of course, the Priory of Zion is not the mythical order created several centuries ago with the bloodline and all that. That's all rubbish. Dan Brown kind of rubbish. No, the reality is that in the 1950s, this same kind of circle of people that in France created other important elitarian groups, they felt that there was a need for Christians and Catholics to unify against the threat of communism, because there was also sponsorship, which was under the Gladio. Let's say, I don't know if you ever heard of Gladio. Gladio is better maybe known as the Stay Behind. Maybe you know them better as the Stay Behind kind of groups that were constructed by America to eventually oppose communism in case they were overthrowing the countries.
I've heard something about that, all right, yeah, Gladio. Yeah.
So basically P2 was also part of Gladio. I myself, when I enjoyed, if I can say so, the military, I was recruited at that time to join what was the last moment of Gladio, because Gladio finished with the end of the Cold War, but of course it didn't really completely finish, and now that the Cold War is starting again, it's gaining again momentum, especially in countries like Romania. Now the Masonic scene is much focused in Europe on what's happening in Romania.
Okay.
So that's why myself, actually, I'm releasing for the first time in Romanian my books next year. It's very important now that the Romanians get this information, because now that this is new Cold War with Russia is starting, they are instrumentally starting to manipulate things around Freemasonry, the Knights, and the Illuminati in Romania.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, just a quick one in there, a quick note from John on our chat room there. He says, the Gladio was also the short sword used by the Romans.
Absolutely. Gladio is a short sword, a bit big, smaller than, of course, a sword, bigger than a knife. It's symbolic, very symbolic. And in fact, we can actually find this symbol used since ancient times. But, of course, it was used in this context because Gladio became the anti-communist idea also. And, for example, the anti-communist, they were very much linked to ancient Rome, because fascism also was linked to ancient Rome. So when, for example, at the end of the Second World War, the Americans arrived here, the best allies were the fascists and the Nazis against communism. So that's why they adopted that kind of symbolism.
Okay. John actually has another question, Leo, and he's wondering, can you explain how the Catholic Church started Islam and why?
I had this discussion many years ago. We were, I think, with Eric Phelps on Greg Zismansky's show regarding the fact that if the Catholic created Islam, there was indeed a link with the Christianity, but there also is a much bigger link, and that's unfortunately most people don't want to talk about it, with Judaism and Mohammed. So I think that is worth saying that like with Christianity was a branch of Judaism, Islam is also another branch of Judaism, so I don't accept the version that it was created by the Catholic Church entirely. No, that's not true, guys. We have to be realistic. If evidence was brought to me and that says otherwise, then I will report it to you. But I have to be very objective. I only work with material which has to be proven, and for, either from my own experience as a 33 degree, because, as you know, I'm a Freemason who has done his works,
okay.
So or either, but it has to be proven. It can't just be speculated. And that was a speculation made also by Alberto Rivera, which I have some problem in accepting. Though I know that definitely these days, like I wrote in the book Pope Francis, the Last Pope, and actually show the documents, show the pics and everything else, there is a close link between Islam and the Jesuits. There is a close link. There's even been a Jesuit who was caught answering to members of a fundamentalist Islamic site, and many other things which I talked about. There is the Jesuit Father Thomas Michel, who was the secretary of the Interreligious Dialogue of the Jesuits and a dear friend of Pope Bergoglio, which actually now is living as a Muslim in Turkey, and as a full-time Muslim. And there is even a Jesuit among the ISIS militias.
Wow.
Which Padre Del Loyo. So, yeah. I mean, guys, there is a really profound link. There is apparently 40 cardinals who have secretly converted to Islam in the Vatican. So the biggest threat, apart from the gay lobby, which I describe in my book, Pope Francis, the Last Pope, ? On CCC Publishing San Francisco, is, of course, Islam.
Yeah, there's actually some questions already coming in from people wanting to know where can they get a copy of that book and price, but we will get to that at the end anyway. So
Amazon is very easy, Pope Francis as Pope, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any outlet. There is many other distributions on the internet. It's distributed by IPG in Chicago, which is the second biggest distribution in the US, so it's pretty well distributed.
Okay, we'll actually just, for anyone who didn't get that, we'll go through it again at the end of the show anyway.
Sure.
We also have a question from Graham. Graham was wondering, can you ask Leo if he is aware of the interdimensional djinn and how they vampire energy from humans? He mentioned fallen angels. Does he think the Nephilim are connected to the djinn?
Okay. On this subject, I wrote in volume 4. So a little bit, maybe we can do a new show on this in a couple of years when I have the volume 4 coming out in the English language. I have already discussed it, though partly, on at least one of the chapters of volume 1, which is coming out in January, which will explain you the relation between the genes, the way they extra-dimensionally operate, the links with certain secret societies, already from volume 1. I haven't discussed, of course, the subject of genes in Pope Francis, the Last Pope, if not marginally, maybe a citation in regards to that specific book used by those 40 cardinals, which is a specific Muslim book that apparently has a lot of power in relation to the genes. So that is the only mention in the Pope Francis, the Last Pope. But in the volume 1, he will already find some very interesting material. And in volume 4, of course, I will finish up this big amount of work that I've done in my 4 volumes, explaining you, and this has already come out in Italy, what the secret chiefs, what these invisible masters have in relation to these genies, with these egregores. What is the concept of egregores? Is egregores only a thought created by a group? Is it also an entity? All this, of course, is coming up in volume 4, so I will discuss it probably in more in detail in the next time we see each other, speak to each other.
Okay, that'll be something for people to look forward to. Okay, we're going to continue on with another question from John. John is wondering, can Leo shed any light on Father Brown, the Jesuit priest who was told to get off that ship now? He means the Titanic.
Well, I mean, I know also that John Eric Phelps has already kind of given his own version of the events in regards to this Jesuit conspiracy and the Titanic. But it's not something I can relate to myself personally, because I don't have any privileged information on the subject, so I don't really want to give my own, you know, as I told you, my method is very rational and it's very relating to what are the facts. Eric John Phelps, in any case, is one of the biggest researchers when it comes down to the Jesuits, and in the past, of course, he has an extremist attitude, because, you know, this American Christian fundamentalist kind of, you know, born again, whatever he is, I think he's a metal, I don't know, Advent, I don't know how, what kind of denomination he is, but of course they have a very strong way of bashing the Jesuits, without taking into account, though, the fact that they work hand in hand with the Jews, the Jewish lobby. Because sometimes when I used to do my radio shows with Eric John Phelps, with Greg Zismansky, I noticed that he, in the end, always put the Jesuits up on top of this pyramid of power. Okay? And
Do you think it's higher than that? I mean, there must be, we hear that there's, you know, we even go down to an Archon level. I mean, it goes very high.
I'm talking here about the terrestrial power.
Okay.
Guys. I'm not talking about the extraterrestrial, because in that case, we have to go within the lodges in the more esoteric aspects. Yeah. And that's why I said I left that for the last part of my works, of my volumes, because it's the more complex part, and it's to do with actually these entities, the way you evoke them and all that. And, of course, the Jesuits are the biggest magicians inside the Vatican, as the rabbis are the biggest magicians within the Jewish tradition, and they, with the Kabbalah and everything, they work with these entities. And also, like we said, there is some entities that want human sacrifices. Of course, they are not angelic, they are demonic, and they give power on this earth. At a archontic level, when it comes down to the vigilance, the people who are, you know, those gatekeepers for the matrix, if we want to say it, no?
Yeah.
Of our illusion that surround us.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that these are the terrestrial vessels. Then, you know, the pyramid goes even higher if we start counting also the extra-dimensional, the extraterrestrial, the what in Italian is called l'elemento sottile, the thin element, which is the element which is not tangible at a physical level as we entertain this dimension.
Okay.
When it comes to something superior to the superior general of the Jesuits, or, for example, the head rabbi, or the, of course there is something on top of them. There is always something on top of you that is, it goes well beyond the terrestrial level. And these people, like, for example, the Jesuits, have been always engaged in magic for that reason. I mean, the founder of the Jesuits, Ignazio Loyola, was condemned by the Inquisition, and I write about this in the book of Francis the Last Pope, 5 times before he was actually then approved with his own order inside the Vatican. I mean, before founding the Society of Jesus, that now has even a pope, he was actually arrested by, you know, by the Inquisition, which was held at the time by the Dominicans, because they were saying, listen, Loyola, you are hypnotizing young girls. You are actually putting them in trance, getting them to talk with spirits, doing all kinds of rituals, and this is not possible. So, I mean, he was, you know, then he must have found that key of power, and apparently he found that also because he was himself linked to the Alumbrados, which were the original Illuminati that predate the Beishaft Illuminati. And of course, he managed to find that key to found this order, and immediately, as soon as he founded the Jesuit order, he started to move towards the east, because we see that in the next 50 years after Ignazio Loyola, the biggest missionaries that we had in the history of the Catholic Church ever had were from the Society of Jesus. They went to China, they went to Tibet. So they even encountered with the Tibetan system of the monks in Tibet. And that's very important also, the monks in Tibet. But in any case, let's not forget that after 1958, like I mentioned in this book, but also I also talk more about in volume 2 and in volume 3 of my confessions, the actual link between the Siamese elders and the Jesuits is forged and with Freemasonry during then what became known as the Second Vatican Council. After 1958, we have the Pope who actually put together the Second Vatican Council. That was Pope Roncalli, and he was the first Freemason to actually become a Pope. Then after that, the second Pope to become a Freemason, who was a Freemason and became Pope, because first they are Freemasons, then they became Pope, was Papa Montini. And he also became Pope. Papa Roncalli became Pope during his time in Istanbul, where he reached also the Rosicrucian degree. And the fact that actually after the war, there were two popes that were actually Freemasons that became popes, I mean, it's unheard of. And of course the church changed, and it's not the Catholic Church that used to be before 1950s, before the advent of what then from the 60s became the Second Vatican Council, because then with the Second Vatican Council all those traditionalist elements that hold apart Catholicism from the Jewish religion kind of got put aside. And then in the years after that, we saw popes like John Paul II calling the Jews their his older brothers, or his cousins, or his, you know, like making a point that, you know, to go to the synagogue and pray together. Mm. So now the B'nai B'rit, the super lodges created by the Jews in the 1820s, the ones that, because the Jews have their own Illuminati lodges, which are called B'nai B'rit.
Okay, can I touch base with you on, obviously we have guests coming on the show, and you mentioned earlier on that the Vatican has a powerful telescope, I think it's over in Arizona, and
yeah,
we know that, yeah, and I know they've been doing a lot of talking, they've been doing a lot of dropping hints and revealing things, and I know you mentioned about the asteroid, and this was being predicted by a number of people as well, and we've also heard about Planet X. Now, you know, some people are saying it's a planet, it's a solar system that's coming in, that would be coming into our, that's in our solar system now. Other people are saying it's a wave, and that CERN was developed to stop this energy wave from hitting the planet. And other people are saying that Planet X, you know, we're on a different timeline, and we're not going to be on the timeline with Planet X. Planet X has come and gone. So what's your, on your inside information, have you heard anything about this? About, have the Vatican said anything about it, or what has your contact said about it?
When I gave a few years back my interview, which became quite popular, with Project Camelot, I talked about the fact that the Planet X footage that was filtered by this Jesuit, this Italian researcher, UFO researcher, was complete rubbish, and of course it was disinformation. There was also a link between the Vatican and Zakaria Sitchin in the last few years of his life, especially with another guy who is unfortunately not with us anymore, because he was also a very interesting figure, which was this ex-demonologist and exorcist, which was Corrado Balducci, who started to talk about the UFOs in the 90s, and he kind of shifted his interest, but he had to shift his interest. I explained this in a recent publication I did in Italy, which is called Illuminati e la Musica di Hollywood, why he had to shift his interest, because the Vatican didn't like him to talk anymore about the occult elements in rock music. Those had been finally accepted. Like, the occult elements in rock music, in the time of John Paul II, became widely available and not anymore censored in any way by the Catholic clergy. That means that, you know, even music which is blatantly satanic, or music like Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts, which had Aleister Crowley on the cover, or Sympathy for the Devil, which was inspired by Kenneth Anger, And of course, by the occult and by all that period in which we had Jimmy Page also involved with the OTO, still is, and many other people. I mean, all this became accepted by the Vatican and even endorsed. I mean, it's quite incredible. People don't realize that the Ordo Templi Orientis and their perversions and Aleister Crowley sprang out of theosophy. Because Crowley was born in the year the Theosophical Movement was actually founded in 1975. He actually made a point of that.
Okay, can I just jump in? Is this related to Planet X?
Planet X, of course, is in the studies that I have done, like I said, to Project Camelot. Yeah. This ufologist, now I can't remember his name, I'm trying to remember his name, but at the time I remember, now it's so many years ago. He received the footage that was purposely talking about Planet X by a Jesuit. And I said, you can never trust the Jesuits giving you a footage and thing, because from what I know, the Jesuits are on Mount Graham, not for Planet X. This is something that people should know. But because they monitor the skies for the conjunctions that predict then the arrival on Earth of certain spirits.
Okay, so do you think the fact the Pope is going to be in America in September is... It's not coincidence. He's over there for a reason, because if something happens, they'll send him off to an underground bunker somewhere for safety.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the main reasons. I think that not anyone has the courage to actually say this, because it's quite, you know, I mean, it is very dramatic if something happened. I'm pretty sure nothing will happen, of course, crossing, you know. We hope and nothing happens, but of course the Pope wants to be better safe than sorry. And actually the fact that he's arriving in Washington and he's going to be in the White House the morning in which this meteorite is supposed to hit the planet, I mean, it's quite more than coincidental, is of course something different. The fact that nothing is going to happen, well, that's okay, but at the same time the Pope is going to deliver a dramatic talk at the United Nations. And he's going to deliver a talk for the first time in front of Congress. It is definitely a moment in history to be a little bit aware. I will not joke so much about it, because definitely there is something happening.
I mean, you would think that with the technology that they have, that something's going to happen, that they, you know, they would know about this. I mean, the fact he's going to be over there, I'm not saying anything's going to happen, but this prediction has been made.
We saw in all the movies that talk about this, and there were quite a few, as you know, that came out in the last decades.
Yeah.
We always noticed that the information was never given to the people immediately. But actually, the people were kept last, because they always had to preserve their own assets. Even in 2012, they had to go to the ARCs, and the price was $1 billion, whatever.
Yeah.
So, as I said, the Pope going to America is not a coincidence in that moment. If there is something happening, the Pope wants to be better safe than sorry.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. There's a number of predictions of this happening. Now, obviously, we have talked about certain things going on. I'm sure people would want to find out, is there any good news? Is there any good information out there that you can tell us that you've come across?
Well, absolutely, there is some good information in, I mean, of course, the good information, there is some fun information. First, let's start with the fun information. Pamela Anderson has been knighted as a countess in Italy as a member of a knighthood.
You're joking. For what? Services to Baywatch or something, is it?
I mean, she's been nominated as the Countess of Santa Margherita. Maybe she has one too many margaritas. But in any case, the service was held in a kind of setup where the Illuminati had actually closed the whole area of the city So she arrived and she went in front of the Grandmaster and she kneeled down, and then the Grandmaster put his sword, and then Pamela Anderson kissed the Grandmaster, and probably the Grandmaster got a boner. Who knows that? But in any case, that is on the funny side of things when it comes down to the Illuminati. When it comes instead to the things that can really help the planet, I think that the attempt that Sasha Stone is doing with his International Tribunal is interesting. I think that he has a point there, and he has been able to involve certain people. And I hope that what set, you see, within this neo-theosophical element of the United Nations, there is certain elements that are actually worried about the outcome of having an Antichrist or having the situation really going completely off control. So they are trying to do something, take out some reservoirs of gold or things. So there is some attempts. Of course, the most dramatic period at the moment for the humanity could be from now to 2020, because then, you know, in 2020 they are preparing for this 10 years of Ice Age, and also this Ice Age will coincide with the crisis that will, in their eyes, eliminate part of the population of the Earth. So for us to know that something is going to happen then, and it's actually happening already now in Jerusalem, that the actual, what the Christians call end of times can be called in many different ways.
Yeah.
It's definitely the end of an era.
Yeah.
And we have to bring into the equation awareness. So awareness means that we can then find ourselves in a position instead of another one, and that we can maybe in our little environment try to preserve what is good, because if we know that the food is largely poisoned at the supermarket, that you know, yeah, most of what we eat is completely rubbish, then we have to correct that. That's very important, because we are what we eat. And the Illuminati instead have made a food system nowadays which is basically based on the larger profit possible, also poisoning us. So, you know, we are not like Hillary Clinton, who suddenly has a tumor in the brain and then comes out the day after and she runs for president. I mean, it's unfortunately normal people don't have this possibility. And why is that? That is why I am very angry with this elite that don't give us yet the answers that could really make us live a great, healthy life. Because also the pharmaceutical lobby is another of the great lobbies of nowadays in the elite, there with the big lodges. I myself was initiated in a lodge which was founded by Wellcome, like Glaxo Wellcome, you know. And so basically I know what it means. This link they have means that things that could actually help our health are usually set back if they don't give an economic reason for the Illuminati, and then they're not even taken in consideration. I mean, they could find the solution for any illness on the planet, but if it costs not so much money, then they're not interested in distributing it.
Okay.
Actually, if you can get, that I think is, it's really down to that to understand the evil in this system. So I am pushing with people here in Italy, at least, with people at an academic level. I was giving a talk at the university in Perugia a week ago regarding the frequencies in music, for example, and the way we should reappropriate ourselves to the correct frequencies, so retuning our instruments to 432 instead of 440, like it was after 1939, gradually changing to 440 everywhere in the world, which meant that all the music is actually distorted.
Yeah.
And the benefits, health benefits, would come back into the question if we redefine music again on 440 Hz. So that is one thing. And then I have many other things like the natural medicine and also the benefits of certain things that the industry doesn't want us to know. I mean, we have to also understand what it means today eating animals the way they're mass produced. Is not the same as eating animals 100 years ago. The situation is really getting out of control. Milk is not made of milk, it's made of powder. Cheeses are made of powder. Everything is made of things which are not what they appear to be.
Well, I'd say to people, there is a movie out there called Soya Green, and it was starred Charlton Heston, and it was done in the early 70s. And John Irwin, who's a guest who was on the show, I recommend people track it down, because this was a kind of, not so much a George Orwell, but a prediction of the way things would go because of food. I don't know whether you've seen that, Leo, Soya Green, the movie.
So, how is it called?
It's pronounced Soyot Green or Soyot Green?
No.
Charlton Heston. Yeah. Charlton Heston was starring in it. It was done in the 70s.
Maybe I remember. Early 70s, maybe 74. I think it came out. It was about food also.
That's right, yeah.
And they ended up eating human beings.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that is it's one of the, I remember that movie. Another great movie, which I would suggest, and it's very, maybe difficult to get, but it's in English, so even if it's Russian, partly Russian, it should be quite easy to get, and it, as I repeat, it's in English, so you don't need to watch it with subtitles. It's a movie called Branded. Branded, also known as The Mad Cow, or Moscow 2017, is a movie about these brands and about the change in society, these egregores, these entities which surround the fast food concept, the transforming the fast food concept into a new concept. But all these egregores basically are sucking our energy and they're not visible to us. So what does the protagonist of this movie do? Is to do an ancient ritual, which actually is a very powerful ritual in the Illuminati, known since the time of Moses. It's called the Ritual of the Red Cow, in which you have to sacrifice the red cow. And he does this ritual where you have to put the blood of the cow all over you, basically bathe in the blood of the cow, and you come out, and he actually at that point is able to see where these entities are actually sucking their energy from in each part of society, and then being able to fight them.
Right.
It's a movie that came out in September of 2012, and I think that it's probably one of the best movies to understand what we are living now, and what could be the future, but also how to fight back against these branding creatures, because everything is a brand. You understand?
Yeah.
Everything's become a brand, so You are not eating anymore something which might be natural, but it's just the brand that you're buying, and inside it might be completely something different. So this is very important, because the Illuminati are really, at the center of all our food chain.
But
they control, with maybe four companies, the whole of the world, like Nestlé, Kraft, and now the next big thing is taking control of the water resources. So the water resources is the next big thing, and that's why in the recent Mad Max movie, I don't know if you've seen the recent Mad Max version, the new version of Mad Max,
no,
is actually based on the water supply,
well,
meaning that the guy who is in charge gives the poor people under there a little bit of water when he feels he wants to give them something, and it's treated like gold.
Well, this is what's happening in Ireland at the moment, Leo. We have a billionaire over here called Dennis O'Brien, who's apparently linked to the Trilateral Commission, who's forcing people to, they want to privatise the water over here, and they're forcing people to pay for it, even though we've paid for it already. And we've had marches and protests in Ireland, the whole lot, and we even know where water is fluoridated. And I've said it on the show before, water is the new gold. And this is why the government are being forced by whoever, maybe the Illuminati, to put in these water meters to be charging people for the water, because they want to privatize it.
Water is the next big business. It's already a big business. It's going to be the reason for the main reason for wars in 10 years from now. Like now it's the oil, and 10 years from now it's going to be the water.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's not like we're talking in 100 years from now. We're talking in 10 years from now. So, I mean, water is a critical asset because we are made 70% of our bodies made of water. By having control of the water, they can also change our DNA at their own will by just changing the codes within the water.
Yeah, we've heard about this with the technology. I mean, the wireless, we had Barry Trower on. He was saying that the wireless technology in the meters is fundamentally changing the DNA in the water that's coming into our house at the moment.
That's why water needs to be then rebalanced, and there is some kind of particular methods. So me and my group of scientists that work closely with me, we are working on some technical aspects to do with the water, actually, to tell you the truth, so we can be able to oppose what they're trying to do. That is one of the things that we're trying to do closely with, also with my order.
Now, there are shoots of good, positive stories coming out, and things we've seen on a positive side globally. And we've heard that, you know, the cabal are actually in certain places struggling because more and more people are waking up globally, and more people are saying no more. They're seeing through the veil, they're seeing through the lies, and it's just amazing the amount of people that are beginning to wake up. And do you see that from your side?
I saw in Italy an attempt to do that. Unfortunately, they actually tried to, you know, we tried to actually push towards a real revolution, but it didn't work out because, as I told you earlier, they're very strong. Of course, that doesn't mean that you can't change the way you are in your own house, because, I mean, maybe you can't change the whole nation and we can't still have, you know, access to the real rooms of power, because those seem at the European level to completely be overthrown by the people who are at the center of the banking system. In Ireland, I expect you have euro, no? You use euro.
Yes.
Any country that is using euro is a slave, is a euro slave, and they have absolutely no freedom. They have absolutely lost their sovereignty. And so at that point, I think that the good thing now is that people are starting to realize that, but are they ready to actually not only riot, but in this case you need a revolution, because those people have created EURGENTFOR, which is this European security force, which includes police forces of all kinds and blah, blah, blah. And so this summer, for example, here in Italy, we have police forces coming in from Spain, for example, from abroad, and the same will be with Ireland. The police forces will go from different European member countries inside their own country, because you have lost your sovereignty the moment in which, like Italy, you have given up to this euro system. So the good thing is that maybe this whole Greece show, that was of course a show, made people realize that we are actually euro slaves. And so the good thing maybe would be to not do the same mistake as Greece. And if we become conscious, we should abandon the euro and start printing our own money. I'm not saying even at a local level, not even at a national level. If, like we are about to do in Sicily and certain regions of Italy, there is even certain cities in Italy which are starting to print our own money, regain money sovereignty. That is very important, and Irish people will need to get on that soon, because you have lost our sovereignty and you will need to regain it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we are, I mean, we are in the euro, and it's major austerity over here at the moment. And along with the people committing suicide...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's in Italy, like in Ireland probably. I don't know about Ireland, but I can tell you in Italy in the last 6 months we had 121 suicides. That's regarding the crisis. I don't know how much the numbers are in Ireland, but if they're equally as high, this means that this euro slavery needs to be stopped. I mean, it's unethical, unmoral, undemocratic, and everything. So what are we waiting for?
Are you having evictions over in Italy as well? Are people being, with the mass austerity, are people being evicted from their homes?
You see, when I was involved in politics, at least I was, there was one thing which I got involved in, which actually is a battle we managed to win. That was thanks to a guy called Domenico Scilipotti. We actually managed to pass a law which saves and preserves the first house. I mean, if, for example, you have more than a house, then the second house can be taken from you. But the first house is not takeable. I mean, they can't take it from you. A bank, a morgue, anybody, they can't take it. If that's your living quarters, they can't take them from you. We managed to pass this law, and I think it was a great... they tried to overthrow this law since 2012 when we passed it, but we have managed to save a lot of people by doing that.
Yeah, unfortunately we don't have that over here. The banks and the politicians have brought in laws to make it actually easier for banks.
It wasn't easy, I tell you, man. I mean, here it was a war that we had to take at a political level right inside the parliament. Mm-hmm. We were lucky enough that Berlusconi's party, because Berlusconi at the time was having... because Berlusconi got kicked out, as you know, by European Union and by the Bilderberg Club. That's why then we had one of the head of the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg as a prime minister immediately after Berlusconi, which was Mario Monti. And so what happened was that because Berlusconi in that moment was kind of like wanting to get back at them, his party supported me in this war with Domenico Scilivodi. And I think that it's incredible that we have managed to do that. And I don't know how much long we can resist with this law, because unfortunately now Berlusconi's party has been completely destroyed. Of course, Berlusconi is out of the question. He might end up now becoming economic minister in Russia instead.
Yeah,
that is what Putin has proposed to him. But I mean, it's not that he's the guy is a great genius, but the thing is that at least he has preserved the first house. Now, with the new taxes coming up and with this whole system which is increasing and getting worse and worse every day, some houses are getting actually taken. And the problem is they're not getting taken because they're getting given to the banks. You want to know what they're doing now? The new thing now is that if you have more than a house and that house is actually not used, you can have illegal immigrants coming in and they get to use your house. We have thousands of people coming in through Libya, through Tunis, for all the countries in the Mediterranean, into Italy every day. They're not necessarily people from Syria. Some of them come from down where they have Boko Haram, so down in the Africa. But these people come here and they actually expect the Italian government to... The Germany and France has closed the borders.
Yeah.
So we get to keep them, and now our government wants to even give our houses to these people.
Yeah.
This is insane, man. I mean, of course, you don't want to be racist, but when they're taking your own house and giving it to somebody who's coming from the jungle, I'm sorry, guys, but there is something definitely wrong. And that something definitely wrong is called the Kalergi Plan, which was planned by this guy. I don't know if you ever heard of Kalergi.
No.
Kalergi, K, put this name into the Google and go and make yourself a search. K-A-L-E-R-G-I. Kalergi was Count Kalergi, was the most powerful Illuminati and Freemason, half Japanese, half Austrian, living 100 years ago. He's one of the founder of the European Union. He is the one who every year gives an award given under his name, was given to Angela Merkel, was given to these people. The Kalergi Plan is a plan. You can go and read this plan on the internet. Not many people know about it, and it's about the destruction of Europe, the ethnical cleansing of Europe in this period of time.
Maybe it's a good idea that Ireland is an island. Leo, we're going to have to leave it there because we're running out of time. So listen,
it was a pleasure to be again with you guys. I hope that you will have me back again next year with my new book. And at that point I will be able to introduce to you all the secret hierarchy of the Illuminati. Because when this book comes out, we have already a whole bunch of lawyers ready. We know that this is going to be the first time that people will have an insight inside the Illuminati network, the names, the addresses and everything, and they're going to go crazy. So we are ready for some big action after this book comes out in January.
Brilliant. Well,
in the meantime, you have CCC Publishing with also having already published Pope Francis, the Last Pope? Which I suggest you can go and buy on Amazon right now.
Brilliant stuff. And let's just hope you don't get hit by an asteroid so we can organise a part three. I think that would be a good thing. Do you, well, I'll have to say, fantastic, brilliant information. We're going to have to do a part three, but I'm going to pass you off to Steve. Thanks again for coming on and brilliant information. And Steve's going to get the other bits and pieces of details off you.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Leo, I've actually just got the page open here in front of me. I have posted it up on the website, the Amazon link to the new book.
And it's very important because the book is coming to America in September, and this book makes you understand really the importance of this visit and what is really happening behind the closed doors of the Vatican for the first time in history. This is like giving you the names, the documents, and the secrets of this network, which of course has in the Vatican one of the most important places on the planet, together with Israel, of course, but the Vatican is very powerful and it's at the peak of this pyramid and chain of power. And what is happening these days is really the end of times scenario. What the Christians called the end of times is manifesting. Of course, you don't have to be religious about it. I try to be very objective and very scientific about it, because I think that if we have a kind of a more a more practical approach to the whole thing, maybe we can find better the solutions, no? Altogether.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I think people were wondering about the price of the book. It's there. It's actually, if you go onto the link that I have put up there, the book is there. It's available for Kindle. It's available in paperback. And I think it's available in other formats as well.
The price of the book, if you pass me the book, Christy, please, the book, my book, Pope Francis, the first Pope here, there it is. It's the price of the book, I tell you, for the USA is $16.95. Canada, $17.95. I guess they have a different kind of dollar there.
I think you might. Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, Leo, thanks a lot for coming on. Again, much appreciated. Just stay with us there, and we'll just go to a musical break, and we'll be back after this.
This is Open Your Mind Radio on OYMRadio.com, UnitedWeStrike.com, and PeoplesInternetRadio.com.
Okay, that was Pharrell Williams and Happy. That's a special request. Alan asked me to play that one. I don't know why, because maybe it's because we're happy. Are we happy? What have we got to be happy about?
Anniversary. We're happy.
Yes,
5 years.
That's what it is.
5 years. Roll on to another 5 years. Fingers crossed. If the Earth is still here.
Yes, if we're not doing it in this dimension, hopefully we'll be doing it in another dimension.
Exactly. Now, what we said, when we said after the interview with Leo, we said we just, for nostalgic reasons, we're going to play you the first 2 or 3 minutes of the very first show that we did, the start of the very first show. I'm not going to play the whole show, just the very start of it. So, Steve, if you can roll it there, Colette.
I have a lineup. I haven't heard this. How bad is it?
Okay, go on.
Is it bad?
Go on, play it and let them hear it.
Okay. Here it goes. I don't know what to expect.
Hello and welcome to Open Your Mind. We're just experimenting with this radio station at the moment. And you have myself, Alan James, and my learned colleague.
Stephen George.
So we're just playing around with this technology at the moment, and hopefully if we get things sorted and we make a few tweaks on this, that we can run a show once a month, talking about the bigger picture, talking about things about the New World Order and everything related to that.
And also various little things that you don't hear on mainstream news and media.
So we'll be just talking about things in general, and we'll have a bit of music as well. We'll have a bit of humour. It's not all going to be too serious. So we're going to talk about things in general. We have been involved in the subject matter for a long period of time, a good few years, and we have done quite extensive research on certain subject matters. But we'd be more than happy to have people come on the website and leave any text messages or any messages at all, that if there's anything that you want to discuss. As I say, this is just a practice session at the moment with the software and the system. We've just seen how things go. So for the time being, what we're going to do is just going to play a bit of music now while we make a few tweaks to the software, and then we'll get back to you soon as. Of course, being that we're going to be talking about the New World Order, and everything about that, we're hoping that maybe somewhere down the line we'll have people that were worked in the certain areas of the government are whistleblowers, and they'll be keen to actually at least email or chat online, and if there's any information that they have, they can send that over to us, and it's something that we can discuss with them. One of the songs we're going to put on here is a song called Silence is Golden, because it's until we have whistleblowers who can tell us what's going on, we won't actually know anything. That's fair enough, Steve?
Absolutely agree, 110% on.
Cool. Okay, so we'll just kick off this song, and then we'll be back to you in a few minutes. There you go. What do you think of that?
Oh, my
on
God.
On the cheap £10, €10 karaoke microphone, the one that you were using.
That was quite interesting, listening to that. And as you can probably hear from that anyway, I was still a man of few words, I think about maybe two or three at the time. But no, I think we've definitely improved since then. But the ethos behind the show hasn't changed, as you heard Alan saying there. Well, we were going to come on, try and do it once a month. That changed pretty quickly to once a week, because, we both enjoyed it and learned so much and wanted to get so much information out there. So it kind of went to once a week fairly sharpish. And, you know, getting people on, whistleblowers and stuff, you know, that was kind of our wish list at the time. And little did we know that even our wish list, what we had on that, will be surpassed. And, you know, in a relatively short period of time, too. I mean, I think within the first year, we had great guests on. We had some fantastic people on the show that we never would have dreamed that we would have had on. But, no, we got them on. And I think we stuck through to the original ethos, the original idea of the show. I think it was just to educate and, you know, make people aware of what's going on, and do it in kind of a tongue-in-cheek sort of way, a little bit of fun, a little bit of seriousness, and it's all gone swimmingly. I think it's worked out quite well for us, so we can't complain, can we?
No, we can't complain. Well, here's to another 5 years. As long as we don't get hit by an asteroid, that'll be the main thing, so we'll have to keep an eye on that, you know, and fingers crossed. Now, next week, our guest is... We have James O'Sullivan, and we're going to be talking to James regarding the ongoing court cases that he's been involved with. James was on our show before, and basically what happened was he was arrested for standing outside, having a cigarette and talking to his friends, and the police asked him for his name, and he said, "Why do you need my name? I didn't do anything. There's no crime being committed," and then everything went downhill from there. So James is going to be coming on and giving us an update on it. James was actually on our training course, the Pain Genie training course that we did a couple of weeks ago. And also we're going to have Angel Rose and
Ahanu.
And basically
Kevin O'Grady is his name.
Okay. Angel Rose and Ahanu were also on our Pain Genie training courses, and basically they will be talking to us about the Akashic Records, which they read, and probably a few of the bits and pieces that they're going to talk to us about. But, so that's really what's planned for next week, and as we say, I think so. Well, we might as well finish up anyway. So, thanks to everybody for tuning in. For myself, Alan James, have a good week, stay safe, take it easy, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, and for myself, Stephen George, again, it's been great information from Leo Zagami. Check out his book there, the link, I will actually pop the link up on the chat room again, and for anyone who's listening to the podcast, that link will be on the chat room for the next week until it is deleted to make room for next week's show. So do check out the book. It's selling for a good price there on Amazon. But there we go. Look, shall we do it all again next week? So until then, take care and look after yourselves.
Open your mind.